is for all of us to tell us exactly what these courageous martyrs have done, to give to us sitting here in this room, all our fellow believers, everywhere in Canada and in the world, an unequaled opportunity to accomplish the very goal we're talking about here tonight, a vast increase in the number of new believers upon which our future success depends. That vast number of new believers our martyrs have now made possible. It's a chance for us to reap the great harvest. It depends upon what our actions will be in the days ahead. Universal House of Justice urges us to continue to do all in our power, as you are, to help rescue these wonderful heroes and heroines of God. Leave no opportunity unexplored. Fight for them like lions. But then the Universal House of Justice does point out one danger of the crisis if we want to fully seize the opportunity of the hour. Never, they said, never let preoccupation with the Iranian crisis come at the expense of neglecting the 7-year plan and its goals, which would divert the Baha'i world community from achieving the very success that is necessary for strengthening the faith and confounding those enemies and bringing greater possible help to our martyrs everywhere. Nothing less, the House of Justice says, is worthy of the sacrifice of our great precious martyrs. They tell us by their words that unless we arise with a mighty roar of determination and open the doors to this desperately needed vast increase in the number of new believers, we shall have failed these heroes and heroines of God who have given their life, their all. Of course, what we've done is wonderful. Don't mistake my words for theirs. It's wonderful and helpful. Proclamation, publicity, sheltering, refugees, all magnificent. But beloved friends, if we do not bring in the flood of new believers in that climate they have changed for us, we will have made a mockery of their sacrifice. Don't worry about them. They've won their victory. They're already in the arms of their beloved master and their beloved guardian and the blessed beauty. They've won their victory, but we haven't won ours. Every martyr, man, woman, and child who sacrificed their lives did not die for proclamation, publicity, radio, television, press alone. As wonderful as those worldwide sacrifices cry out against injustice. See, what they've done is that they have fertilized the ground and the earth of Iran. They've made pregnant the soil of the entire planet with a red river of blood. They have filled the air with the spirit of sacrifice until today it is throbbing and alive with the potential promise of unprecedented teaching. Now, if we will arise and seize it, we'll be astounded at the results. These heroes of God have given every one of us in this room a climate of teaching unlike anything we have ever seen before in the history of our teaching work. That's our job, to seize this golden opportunity. So I hope you delegates will tell Canada that and remember it yourselves and see if you can arouse among those willing hearts out there some of those teaching martyrs that the Abdu'l-Bahá talked about and some of those teaching martyrs the beloved guardian said were so desperately needed in this day. Canadian believers who will teach with the same spirit of sacrifice our martyrs are showing in Iran. Teaching martyrs everywhere. Canadian teaching martyrs giving their all as though it were their last day or year on earth and their last chance to become numbered with the elect and the chosen. So that's our opportunity to act and act promptly. As the guardian of the House of Justice said, is the need of the hour. Our martyrs died so that mankind might have this better world, this Christ-promised kingdom of God on earth. So it's up to us to make sure that they get it, beginning now at this convention. The air will never be throbbing and more filled with the potential for tremendous outpouring of teaching, beloved friends. You won't be able to look upon each other's faces, so radiant will they become if we arise and seize our chance and have that vast, unprecedented number of new believers everywhere. In all parts of the world, white, black, red, yellow, and brown. That's why they died. That part of it sometimes we forget. Third crisis. And third last crisis to talk about here. The solving of which depends entirely upon the enrollment of a huge number of new believers. A crisis which we often completely overlook or misunderstand at our peril. For this lack of understanding dampens the enthusiasm, cools down the ardor of teaching, and it's about contributions to the fund, local and national. Because of the crisis we face, these comments I'm going to share with you are inspired by the words of the beloved Master and the beloved Guardian. They are not directed to any particular segment of our Baha'i life, and especially not to those generous, selfless souls who were constantly doing their share and more, who feel probably the burden more than many of the rest of us. And the longer we delay winning this vast increase of number of new believers, the graver this crisis will become, and the deeper will be the sad estrangement of those who do not understand it. First of all, beloved friends, let's remember that the root of contribution, the word is contribute, contribute, which means with tribute, with love, because you want to, and not because you have to. The hands of the cause of God always defend vigorously all the institutions of the faith, and they're delighted to do so. The majesty and greatness of the Universal House of Justice, the National Teaching Center, the Continental Board of Counselors, and tonight it is my joy to speak these words of love and tenderness to the heroic generals of the seven-year plan in all the Baha'i assemblies of the world. And they are to you, many of you in the days to come will become members of national spiritual assemblies. So I hope, beloved friends, delegates, that you will be sure to tell that to Canada, that if the friends sometimes feel restless and grumble occasionally, or say, or even do not say, but think it in their heart, that the National Assembly talks too much about money and contributions in the funds, let them know that they're blaming their own people. The crisis, the real problem, is not the fault of the National Assembly. Don't blame them. It's not their fault. It's your fault. Our fault. I didn't say that. Shoghi Effendi said it a number of years ago and wrote it over half a century ago. The Universal House of Justice also couldn't have been more plain and clear. They too told us that the problem with our deficits and lack of funds was not a material problem, but a spiritual one. Both the Universal House of Justice and Shoghi Effendi told us plainly that if we needed more resources, more funds, to carry out the growing work of our world-redeeming faith, and we would need them, there was only one place to turn to find them, and no other. We would need a vast increase in the number of new believers the world over. Beloved friends, I speak with authority and from a deep and tender heart on this subject. I know, for I have been there. I sat in one of those National Spiritual Assembly chairs, and I know only too well that every National Assembly in the world does their work in the face of heavy, heart-rending burdens that they can't shake off. There's no way. Almost insuperable obstacles. And every member has to struggle to try and become a better Baha'i and a better person as they carry the burdens for all of us all over the world. Praying, thinking of ways to appeal to your heart, to touch your heart, to urge you to sacrifice for the funds. And we sometimes may have sounded too demanding or urgent, but it was because of our own frustration and longing to see our cause advance more rapidly. It is not the National Spiritual Assemblies who are demanding, it is the time in the history of the world, and it just won't go away. I can hear the Supreme Concourse on high calling for a standing ovation for every National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is everywhere in the world. For they have taken these pennies of ours and turned that copper into gold as they defend and protect and advance the cause of God. All right, so it's only inch by inch, but that's not their fault. That's our fault. Where are the troops? Where are the masses? Where is the blood? But it was always forward they moved it. And I can tell you where their hopes are. In the Holy Spirit that consecrates the little money we do send them. And that's what accomplishes the miracles you have been witnessing these days. Every national assembly in the world awaits eagerly that vast increase in the number of new believers that will free them at last, to do the great work which Baha'u'llah intended them to do in the beginning. Beloved friends, I shall fly away tomorrow morning to Chicago to share this same message of love and excitement with your co-heirs of the Divine Plan. For both Canada and the United States were given these tablets of the Divine Plan for the spiritual conquest of the planet. And I know from what I have heard already, you are on your way. Of course, I'm going to take my finger along with me, because this is the one Baha'u'llah helped me to put my finger on the answer for this historic Canadian convention, this world-changing convention. New believers, new believers, new believers, wherever you go. Now, how do I know this convention is historic? Why am I so confident that this vast increase will begin here tonight? Because there are 171 delegates from the crack troops of the Blessed Beauty's Radiant Spiritual Army. 171 representatives of his victorious onward marching legions who are poised and ready, and who I am sure this time will not be denied. After all, they will find a way to reach this great increase. After all, the Blessed Bob said, any one follower of this faith can by the leave of God prevail over all who dwell in heaven and earth. Each one of you is one follower. And if not us, who did the Blessed Beauty mean when he proclaimed, he that summoneth men in my name is verily of me, and he or she will show forth that which is beyond the power of all that dwell on earth? And you tell me, who was the Master talking about when he said, in this century of the latter times? That was this morning when you woke up, wherever you were. That's now, right now, while you're sitting in this room. The Master said, Baha'u'llah has appeared, and so resuscitated the spirits that they have manifested powers more than human if they will open their hearts to it. And what soul was our beloved guardian speaking about? Are we exempt, any of us in this room, when he said, one soul can be the cause of the spiritual illumination of the continent? I mean, you're a soul, right? One soul. Wherever I look, I see one soul. And if you still think maybe that's not you but somebody else, as sometimes we all do, then in that same paragraph, in the very next sentence, Shoghi Effendi adds, there is nothing to prevent you from arising and showing that example. And finally, from our Supreme Universal House of Justice, source of all good, freed from all error, sole refuge of a tottering civilization, they have written these words that might very well be our theme for this convention and for our convention reports which follow. Forward then, they say, confident in the power of protection of the Lord of Hosts, who will use his devoted followers, us, who will use his devoted followers to bring to a despairing humanity the life-giving waters of his supreme revelation. Again, let then the individual Baha'is rise as one man and sweep away every obstacle from the onward march of the cause of God. However unpromising the prospect, Baha'u'llah is able to open doors and change conditions in ways beyond, far beyond, our understanding. More, they promise us dependence upon him, Baha'u'llah, enables the Baha'is to formulate audacious plans, like a 2-year vast increase plan that never quits until Rizwan 1986. That I said that, House of Justice. Better. They said enables us, the Baha'is, to formulate audacious plans and confidently carry them through to completion in the face of seemingly insuperable obstacles. And now this final bolt of infallible lightning. The House of Justice promises us, quote, however hopeless the prospect may seem, Baha'u'llah will reinforce the believers with his hosts and will open the doors of victory before them. All things are in his mighty grasp. And if we but play our part, total and unconditional victory will instantly be ours. That's five separate sources of divine infallibility. Five. All who say we can do it. And we can, and it should be enough. They've already assured us if we will but arise and make the effort, we will have that great victory. From three notebooks, all filled with such promises, and all, this is the smallest of the three, promises given to us to conquer the planet, I'm going to close with these two. First, from the beloved Master. Verily, the perfect and divine, the perfect and divine power will breathe in you with the bounties from the Holy Spirit and enable you to accomplish a thing the like of which hath never been seen by the eye of existence. I hope your convention will do that. Something never seen by the eye of existence in this great challenge of your believers. From the beloved Gardner. Let us pray to God that in these days of world encircling gloom, when the dark forces of nature, of hate, rebellion, anarchy, and reaction are threatening the very stability of human society, when the most precious fruits of civilization are undergoing severe and unparalleled tests, we, the Baha'is, may realize more profoundly than ever that though we are but a mere handful, though we are but a mere handful amidst the seething masses of the world, we are in this day the chosen instruments of God's grace. That our mission is most urgent and vital to the faith of humanity. And fortified by these sentiments, arise to achieve God's holy purpose for mankind. This is our duty, our first obligation. Therein lies the secret of the success of the cause we love so well. Therein lies the hope, the salvation of all mankind. Are we fully conscious of our responsibilities? Do we realize the urgency, the sacredness, the immensity, the glory of our task? I entreat you, dear friends, to redouble your efforts to keep your vision clear, your hopes undimmed, your determination unshaken, so that the power of God within us may fill the world with all its glory. So, beloved friends and delegates to this historic convention, let us pick up that challenge and here tonight in Ottawa vow that we will never set it down for 2 long years until Rizwan 1986, triumph-filled years, at which time we shall all be swimming for our very lives in the midst of that vast tidal wave of new believers which will have drowned all our problems. Beloved friends, the hands of the cause of God are the remnants of the beloved Gardner, his tattered, willing, but aging standard bearers. And even so, our spirits remain quite fierce and strong. And we shall still raise that glorious ensign on high. And we shall march with you, side by side, into the valleys, over the mountains, and across the prairies of Canada, if you will arise and do the same. Igniting such a burning, raging fire of teaching across the face of this dominion that nothing will stop us, nothing in our spiritual conquest of this nation. And that, beloved friends, is the heart of all I came to say to you tonight. And I will leave you. I will leave you with a gift. A short prayer from page 5 of Selections from the Writing of Abdu'l-Bahá. It is short enough to carry in your purse or in your wallet. And you can say it if it touches your heart, along with your other favorite prayers. These prayers, our beloved Master once said, are a weapon to fight with forever and ever, and with them we shall always be victorious.